1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I've been preaching a series of messages entitled A Call to Faithfulness. Sunday before last, I preached about our faithfulness to the faith. How important it is for us to stay faithful to the Word of God. We have to stay true to the teachings of Scripture, particularly with regard to being saved. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there. People aren't preaching repentance. They're not preaching faith. They're not telling people they need to be born again. All those things are the things that Jesus taught His church to proclaim. These are great, wonderful doctrines of the church. And we need to be faithful to the doctrines of the church, particularly the doctrine of salvation. Man, you get off the foundation, well, you're building in a sandbox rather than building on a rock. We need to be faithful to Scripture and faithful to the doctrines of the church, faithful to the doctrines of Christ. Last Sunday, I tried to preach about a call to faithfulness to the family, particularly fathers. Be faithful in bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them to church. Keep them under the sound of the gospel. Keep them, aware of the great principles of Christ and spiritual things. Subject them to Holy Ghost things. I mean, the spiritual things of God. They need to be subjected to those things. And you need to guard and protect and prevent them from being contaminated by the world. The world seeks to destroy them. The world wants our children's minds, soul, and body. The devil is trying to destroy them and destroy this generation and this society and this world. But be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. And we have faith. I mean, we trust the Lord to strengthen us and help us to bring up our children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, where they don't become bitter toward society or toward us or toward God. When I first began to preach this, I didn't know it was going to kind of become a running series, but it kind of just worked out that way. And this morning I want to call you to faithfulness, to felicity. Felicity is just a word for happiness. I just chose another F word to kind of be rhyming, but I'm really calling you to the faithfulness in serving the Lord. Faithful to the cause of Christ. It is important for Christians to be faithful to their Savior. It's important to be faithful to the church, to be faithful in the work of God, to labor and advance God's cause. There are a lot of great doctrines that are taught in Scripture. There's a lot of practical principles that we can apply ourselves to. But you can't read the Bible without coming across the principles taught by Jesus Christ and His apostles and His church to be faithful in serving the Lord. Faithful in good works. All these are wonderful principles taught in the Word of God. And most of the sermons, you know, as I began to be led in this direction by the Spirit of God, most of the sermons, they seem like they're always sermons of rebuke. You know, where preachers are trying to guilt people into serving the Lord, or stepping it up, or working a little harder for the Lord. But there are a lot of teachings in the New Testament where people were simply serving the Lord for the glory of God. It doesn't always have to be rebuke. It can be messages of rejoicing. Just seeing people serve the Lord. What a blessing it is. And you really, and I need to get this principle across to you, and I'm going to read my reading lesson. I am going to read the Bible, okay? But You cannot, listen to me, you cannot be happy in your Christian walk unless you're doing something for Christ. You just can't. I mean, you know, and most of the depression in Christianity today is not a result of the wicked world or the sins of the world or the calamities of the world. Most of the depression in spiritual things is because of a lack of service. Tell you what, you can't find any greater joy than the joy of Jesus Christ. And He gives us His joy as we serve Him. So I want to read a few verses of Scripture taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll begin in verse 5. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Everybody say are one. He that planteth and he that watereth, they're one. Okay? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Everybody say he'll receive a reward. He'll receive a reward. Now, he's contrasting building a mud hut with your life and the things you do versus building a palace. You know? And in the end, it's going to be tried by fire, by the judge of the Lord Jesus, judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our service is either going to be wrecked or it's going to be rewarded based upon the fire that it is tried by. Now, you know, every man's works shall be tried. That's very important. Every child of God is going to face Christ with respect to their service to the Lord. We have been saved to serve Him. We have been saved to serve Him. And so Paul is talking about that. He's talking about laboring for the Lord. And he's talking about the rewards that we shall receive in laboring for the Lord. Listen, my friend, the things you do for Jesus will last eternally. The things you do for yourself will be burnt up. I mean, that's what is taught here in this verse. Now, you know, we live in a time where people think, and even in some Christian works and in some churches, there's been this philosophy that has influenced the world. It's a philosophy, you know, that everybody gets the same in the end. And I realize we're all going to be happy over there. But there are rewards in heaven for serving the Lord. There's a crown of life. There's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, well, do good, thou good and faithful servant. Each of us have a stewardship when we get saved. And we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And we need to be very industrious in serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. And you know, sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm going to heaven and I'll get the same grade as everybody else. No, you won't. Not unless you labor for the Lord. I assure you, this socialism system is not going to be implemented in the day of judgment. Okay. And I hear a lot of preachers and teachers, and perhaps you have that philosophy. Maybe you think that it's all going to be the same in the end. It's not. Folks, listen to me. There's a crown of life available to us that serve the Lord. Should have got amen. Yeah, everybody would be happy. But most of the New Testament teaches us, some whole epistles are encouraging us and admonishing us to work for the Lord. Whole epistles like the book of Titus. You know, Paul sent Titus down to the island of Crete, and their society on that little island, he described them as slow belly. They were lazy. They just loved to sit around and eat. They were lazy. They were sensual. They're described as sensual people. They were just inclined to eat rather than to work. And Paul sent Titus down there and he said, you know, this attitude that has kind of engulfed that little island, that little society on the island of Crete, it's going to influence and impact the church. And you need to go down there and teach them that they need to work hard for the Lord. I mean, that was the whole job of Titus going down to the island of Crete. Now listen to me. The Bible stresses over and over and over again, if you're a Christian, you need to be working for the Lord. I mean, all you got to do is read your Bible. Works are so, there's so much emphasis on works in the New Testament that the gospel writers and the Holy Spirit had to come along and say, you can't be saved by works. Okay? They had to make sure you didn't get confused because of such emphasis on working for the Lord. In Titus 3 and 8, it says, this is a faithful saying. Titus 3 and 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou will affirm constantly. Say affirm constantly. Affirm constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5 and 16 to let our lights shine before men that they may see our what? Good works. That they may see our good works. We're supposed to be salt and light. And the only way we can season this world and cast a light upon the glorious truth of Jesus Christ is for us to work for God. I believe a righteous life makes our evangelism believable, our doctrines believable. The world needs to see us working for the Lord. Amen? Not give her many amens. There is a watching world. And I'm not even rebuking you, okay? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. There's a watching world. And they need to see us dedicated and loyal to the Lord, that we are servants, and He is the Master. Amen? He's called us to service. Even Jesus Himself. If you bear the name Christian, that means Christ-like. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen? They see our good works and they glorify God in the day of visitation. All right. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6. I want to tell you a little story that I've never told you before. Most of you, I say none of you have never heard. In the early 50s, there was a young girl that lived in Simpson County, Kentucky. She didn't grow up in church. Her parents didn't go to church. There was nothing or very little ever said about God or about Jesus. She knew absolutely nothing about religious things or spiritual things. Her parents weren't bad people. I mean, they weren't like, you know, evil people, but they just didn't go to church. Knew nothing about God nor His Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation. A little church down the road had Vacation Bible School. And she went. Somebody came by and picked her up. And she said, for the very first time, I heard about the love of God. For the very first time, I heard about God sending His Son to die on a cross of Calvary to save me from my sins. And she didn't get saved during Vacation Bible School, but that year, but seeds were planted in her heart. later, she would go with a friend of hers from school to a little revival meeting in a little Nazarene church. And there get saved. She met a young man that did grow up in church at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Simpson County, Kentucky, and married him and had a son. And she saw to it that that son was always in church. That was my mother. This year, every one of her great-grandchildren attended Vacation Bible School. Some of them taught Vacation Bible School. Some of them wrote Sunday school literature for Vacation Bible School. I want to thank you this morning. We left the artwork up. Brother Jared did. You know, there's a lot of energy and a lot of effort and a lot of work that goes into Vacation Bible School. And you might say, well, all I did was take a knife and cut up grapes in little pieces. But it contributed to the advancing of God's cause. While you were doing that, somebody was telling those kids about Jesus. And the far-reaching impact of that, we don't even know. We have no idea. That little church down the road to this day knows nothing about the impact that they had on that little girl, my mother. And we don't know the full impact, but I guarantee you, when you labor for Jesus Christ, He always brings the increase. Amen. Nothing is ever done in vain in the Lord. In the 58th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He told the people at Corinth, He said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abound in the Greek means do above and beyond, above and beyond. Go over the top, over the top. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know, everybody say you know. You know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And then he goes through in the next chapter and he starts talking about Timothy and he talks about Apollos. He talks about Aquila and Priscilla. And he says, these folks are working for God. They are working for God. And so I just want to thank you for your steadfastness. I want to thank you for your labor in the Lord. Everything that was done. And I know some of you couldn't be here. I understand that. But I thank you for your prayers. Amen. For your generosity, your contribution, the money that was contributed. You know, he in that next chapter, in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, talked about the collection of the saints. People give money. And somebody asked me about how much they have to pay for the t-shirts. I said, they're taken care of. You know, and everything that was done this week, it's amazing. One of the reasons I like the fact that we left up the banners is everything was sprinkled with the love of God's people from this church. Every word in the literature, every preparation of the craft, all of the music, I mean, everything was just sprinkled with love for a lost and dying world. And folks, listen to me, that's what church is. That's what it is. And so I just want to thank you. None of this ever escapes the notice of God. Amen. Never escapes the notice of God. I know, you know, some of you were sweating and you're thinking, how is this contributing? But it is. It's contributing to the advancing of the cause of Jesus Christ. Souls were saved. Amen. Seeds were planted. People in this community recognize us. They say this is better, and I mentioned this during the commencement. I'll tell you why it's better, because the Spirit of the Lord is here. God is with us. His truth is with us. And we labor. And yes, we sweat, and some of you look a little frazzled at the end of it. You know? And you were exhausted, but wasn't it a good exhaustion? I mean, wasn't it? Yeah, we were drained and exhausted, but I mean the joy Oh, the joy of working for the Lord. And if I can say anything, anything to the young people, and I think they already know this. They know this. I mean, look at the kids that were in our Vacation Bible School just a few years ago. They're teaching in our Vacation Bible School. They're plugged into ministry. We've got one generation that really, really worked hard and still is working hard for the Lord. And I'm proud of them. I'm just going to say it. I mean, not in a boastful way, but I am proud of their labor for the Lord. Amen. And they're doing it not for any kind of glory to themselves. They do it for the glory of God. And I thank you. I thank this church. I'm thankful. I've just been overwhelmed. I've been so full. And the things that have just flooded my heart. I wanted to just encourage you and thank you for laboring in the Lord. I guess this is my attaboy, you know, Sunday. Just keep doing it. Hey, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. God brings the increase. We just sow, we water. We tell people the message, but God bears His own arm. Right? Isaiah 53:1. God bears His own arm. He does the saving and the redeeming and changing of people's lives. Thank God. Thank God. And all we do is just share the message and we package it the best we know how. And so I want to thank you for your labor. And I want to say to those of you that, you know, you're missing out on the joy, get in there and just serve the Lord. You know, in Hebrews 6:10, it says, God's not unrighteous. Everybody say, God's not unrighteous. God is not unrighteous. He is a great paymaster. You serve Him, He will pay you well. You know, oh man, I tell you what, I have been so blessed and so well paid by the Lord. Oh my goodness. Listen, I'll share something with you, but don't tell nobody, okay? Deacons, can you put your ears in your hands, fingers in your ear? Man, I would do everything that I'm doing if you didn't pay me a dime. Because the Lord pays me. Amen. All the blessings of serving the Lord, you get a joy that you can't get anywhere else. Even though my contribution may be so small in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the payment is so great because God is not unrighteous. He sees your labor of love and that you show toward His name, and He will pay you well. Read Hebrews 6:10. He will pay you well. He won't forget your work and your labor of love for His name. He won't forget it. Everybody say, He won't forget it. Now, I might forget it. I don't remember things as well as I used to. But, and I know people make sacrifices that are never publicized and we don't see. There's a lot of things that go on at this church and behind the scenes, and people do things, and I'm thankful for your labor in the Lord. I'm just overwhelmingly I have an overwhelming degree of gratitude this morning toward this church and toward the work that you do for the Lord. I assure you, it is not in vain. It is not in vain. And so, I pray God continues to bless us as we labor with Him. Everybody say, labor with Him. Now, it is vain if He doesn't show up, amen? But we labor with Him. And, you know, little Bella, this past week, and Tiffany asked if anybody, you know, had been saved and wanted to tell about being saved. And little Bella's small. She's just a little bitty thing, isn't she? She's like back here going like this. Oh, raising her hand, you know. Of course, I think Ashley was a little concerned about what she was going to say, and who knows what she's going to say. And she told about calling on the Lord in the backyard, front yard, in the yard, wherever it was, and got saved. Listen, folks, let's just keep telling them the right way to get saved. Let's tell them how God works, what it feels like to be saved and be under conviction, and how God visits them and with His Spirit, and how they can come to the foot of the cross. God will do His part. I know that's a common phrase around here. You know, I've said this to the director many times. God's doing His part. God's doing His work. And He does it many times when we don't even know it. Our labor is not in vain. It is not in vain. I thank You for Your sacrifice. I thank You for Your labor. And and other things that are done, not just Vacation Bible School, the other things that are done and service to the Lord here at this church, I thank You. I really do. I just felt like I needed to not rebuke you this morning, but to rejoice in the labor that goes on at this church. That's kind of how I felt. I know it's not much of a message, but that's what felt like I needed to say. I remember one year here several years ago, the director came to me at Vacation Bible School, said, I don't think we're going to have enough to do a Vacation Bible School during the day. We're going to have to shift it to at night where people can show up, you know. And I said, I just don't want to do that. I very seldom voice my opinion, but I mean, that was one of those things. I'm like, no, we can't slip here. We've got to step up. And I remember I stood the next Sunday in the back of the house, and as women were going out, I'm like, can you come help us at Vacation Bible School? I mean, can you come? Can you come help? One lady said, well, I got to work. I said, did you ask off? They may even let you off with pay. Next Sunday, she came to me. She said, you know what? I asked off. And he said, that'd be great. Go serve your church. Serve the Lord. Listen, if our God can turn the hearts of kings, He can turn the hearts of anybody. I thank You for Your sacrifice. I thank You for Your commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thank God for Timothy. He's a worker for the Lord. I thank God for Paul. I thank God for Aquilas. I thank God for Priscilla. I thank God for Savannah. I thank God for all those people in the past that have served the Lord. Let's keep serving the Lord. Let's keep serving the Lord. God bless you. A call to faithfulness, so we might have happiness in our lives and the joy of the Lord. Let's keep telling people about God's Word, His will, His ways. Well, I'm going to open the doors of the church. Devin, get a song. There are a lot of things that are done, and they're done for the right reason with the right message. Doing things for the right reason with the right message. Is that important? Do re mi is one of those things. I think I'm convinced they do it for the right reason and they have the right message. And they ensure that. That's a blessing. Amen? And we have other things that go on here at this church that people, you know, are concerned about the lost world, that's done for the right motives and with the right message. I'm convinced there are kids that get saved that we never know about. There are kids, well, they're the first one that knows when they get saved, right? They're the first ones that know. And I'm going to open the doors of the church. Maybe somebody wants to unite with the church and be baptized. If you've gotten saved and you have a testimony where you've passed from death into life, and you need to come out from among the world and join us in the labor. Amen? Join us in building up the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where you can give all the credit to the Lord. You know, if anything's done that's good, we don't glory in ourselves. We glory in the Lord. We give Him honor and glory and praise. We're just His servants. In the end, we're just unprofitable servants. Amen? That's all we are, unprofitable servants. Stand to your feet. If there's somebody here and you've been saved, maybe one of you have been saved, you've not shared it with anybody, you need to come and unite with the church and do that, you know. You may be here from another church and God is, you know, drawing you or leading you to be part of this church. I believe only the Holy Spirit can knit you in the body. He's the only one that can put you in the body of Christ, you know, and make it work. And make it, you know, where you have a place you feel at home. God will do that by His Spirit. So as we sing this verse, if there's somebody here that, like I said, if you can't unite with one of the Lord's churches until you have a testimony of salvation. Amen? When you have a testimony of salvation and you know you've been saved, you've been born again, you have a time and a place where it all, things changed, okay? You turn from sin and put your faith in the Lord, then you can unite with one of the Lord's churches. What we do here is we ask for everyone who unites with this church to give an experience of grace. Everybody say experience of grace. You've got to have your own experience of grace, okay, to be part of the children of God. The church is made up of saved people. Lively stones, the Bible says. Those who are on the foundation, right? You got to be on the foundation. You have to be on Christ. So as we sing this song, if there's somebody here, if you'll come forward, the church will hear what you have to say.
Thank you. Maybe sit.
Lydia Morrison has come forward to share with us her testimony of salvation. I was privileged to get that phone call early that morning and late that night. And I know her family has had a lot going on over the last several weeks, but God has shown himself strong. And He has a way of helping us with the trials and tribulations of life. And anyway, Lydia, would you share with us in your own words what happened to you? Don't read me.
It was a Tuesday night, and they had come in and they were doing some preaching and singing, because I felt really bad that I had so many sins, and Jesus died for me and gave up everything. So I just prayed for Him to save me.
Amen. Amen. On Tuesday night. Amen. God bless you. Over at Doray Me. Isn't that work a blessing? Sure is. All right, you heard her testimony.
Yeah.
Motion second. Granted all rights and privileges when baptized. Anyone like to speak to this motion? All of you have this motion, show will lift your hand. Down, opposition, black sign. Motion is carried. We're going to have a handshake. Let's shake hands with her. Appreciate her following the Lord today. Stand your feet. Let's continue to sing. Could you guys sing a special for us? The Patterson, Searles, whatever you guys call yourself. Y'all come sing a special for us while we shake hands with her. And let's start over here with this area so we don't get kind of bogged down. I want to say again to our visitors, we're glad that you're here. I tell you, it's a blessing to know the Lord. It's a blessing to be part of His cause. It's a blessing to be part of His church. There's no greater blessing in life